Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
And back goes Holt, and this ball is off the wall, stays in play. It's a fair ball. Holt is halfway into the stands.
It's going to be an inside the parker.
Holt apparently thought it was gone into the stands. The umpire gave the safe sign, not the home run sign, and Pitts touches them all.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Rangers.
Pitch up high, and it is driven hard toward the wall in left center, and it is off the wall. Played on the carom by the center fielder Benintendi. Two runs will score on a well-struck ball by Guzman.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Patrick Gilroy right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Red Sox Review right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys. As tonight we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops. At Gilroy on Hoops, and we'll get to quite a bit of different stuff. Let's say coming up after midnight tonight, when we flip this thing over from Red Sox Review into late night, between David Ortiz, the Kevin Durant situation, how that will affect the Boston Celtics moving forward, and of course Game 7 of the Bruins series here, Stanley Cup Finals, all coming up in a little while here in the program. Until then, we got to get to this Red Sox team, because here's the deal. As I was driving in here tonight and listening to the broadcast, I couldn't help but think to myself, you know, these are clearly the summer Celtics. And I say that for many reasons. The Celtics were a team that went into their season with tremendous, tremendous optimism. I mean, optimism, you know, overflowing from every corner of the earth. Everybody thought that that team was going to compete to at a minimum, represent the Eastern Conference in the finals. We know how that went for the Celtics. And again, the Red Sox coming off their World Series win, the Red Sox with all their optimism coming into this series, they were a team that was heavily, heavily favored to compete once again to try to get back to where they were last year and at least put themselves in a position to be a team to contend, right, and win another World Series. Not only are they drastically underperforming on the field, and make no mistake about it, tonight they dropped to 500. They are drastically underperforming on the field. Forget that for a minute, because I feel like in this city, in this town, with you guys, the best fans on the planet, we can live with a team that underperforms. You know, I made this comparison quite a bit during the Celtics season. You know, we can embrace a team that's 500 here. We absolutely can. We can make a team that plays 500 basketball or 500 baseball feel like they are world champions by the amount of love and adoration that we send their way when they play the right way. This Red Sox team is guilty, and just as guilty as the Celtics were, of not playing the right way. This team is hard to watch. This team is unlikable. And I'm thinking to myself, and tonight I proved my point. I went through my notebook when I got here. And going all the way back, I've got notebooks upon notebooks upon notebooks, because when I come in to do a show, I write show notes, right? If you go back and you compare my notes all season long on this Red Sox team, and then go back and compare them to the notes that I wrote about the Celtics, they are eerily, eerily similar. Apathy, a key word. Unlikable, a key word. And now I'm finding myself talking to fans, engaging with fans on Twitter, engaging with fans on social media in general, where they feel like this team is not worth watching. And the Red Sox, Major League Baseball in general, they ask for a tremendous amount of our time. Much more so than the NHL, much more so than the NBA, and of course, much more so than the NFL. The Boston Red Sox want your attention for 3 to 4 hours a night, 6 nights a week. Is that something that this team has earned? Is that something that this team is worth. So it is Sports Radio WEI. It is Red Sox Review. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. The Red Sox, they lose, and they lose again at home. And again, this is a troubling trend. Fenway Park isn't even a safe place to play anymore for the Boston Red Sox. They fall to 500 on the season. And these two games against Texas, these ones really hurt. Because the most optimistic of Red Sox fans, the ones that would call into the program and say, yeah, Gilroy, you know, just stop looking at the American League East. Stop looking at it being, you know, the Red Sox and how many games they're behind the Yankees or how many games they're trailing Tampa. Forget that for a minute. You got the wild card. You got the second wild card, right? And that's really what Red Sox fans have pinned their hopes on here over the first few months of this season. Everybody would call and say, they're in that second wild card. Don't worry about it. They'll get it together. Tell you what, these two losses this week against Texas, well, that has done a number on those wild card people. The people that were holding on to that hope because, hey, you got the wild card game, you got the second wild card, so the Red Sox, they'll be just fine. No need to compete with the Yankees. No need to compete at the top of the American League East. Why bother? You're the World Series champions. Just slide in there comfortably with one of those wild card spots and you'll be A-OK. Well, where are those people now? Really, where are those people? Because not for nothing, this is not good enough. You're now three games behind Texas for that second wild card, and there is no respite in sight. You tell me when you're looking at the schedule. You tell me when you're looking at the Red Sox upcoming games for the remainder of June and into July. You tell me when you're looking at this team's roster as it's currently constructed. Where is the hope? Where is the stretch of games where Red Sox fans say, right there, that's it, that's when this team is going to get right? Because you've had those stretches, and this team still has not been able to get it right. This team still continues to struggle, and this team is still searching for answers. And it feels like, to me, every single one of those buttons that Cora pushed last year, the ones that he got all this credit for because, oh, he pushed all the right buttons. That's what we said all year last year. We said it throughout the entire offseason. Part of the genius of Cora was his ability to push the right buttons and put players in their best possible position to succeed. Well, it seems to me that this year, those buttons that he's pushing, they're just not working. He's not pushing the same buttons with the same level of effectiveness that he did last year. And who is to blame? Is it Cora to blame? Or is it Dombrowski for fielding a flawed team? Or is the blame somewhere in the middle here? Don't be afraid to put the blame, by the way, on the players. God forbid we blame the players for underperforming. So lots to unpack here tonight. As your Boston Red Sox, they continue to disappoint. They've now lost five out of their last six overall. They fall to 500 on the season. Two consecutive games against a team in Texas that you're chasing for that second wild card. The Red Sox now three games behind Texas for that second wild card. And it seems to be coming apart at the seams over there at Fenway. It is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll get right to your phone calls to try to figure out what the hell is wrong with this Red Sox team. And look, if it was your team, you know the talent on the roster. You know the financial situation that this team is in. What buttons would you push that may be different from what Cora is pushing to try to get this thing back on track before June becomes July, July becomes August, and August becomes September, and eventually you're home watching in October? The Boston Red Sox, are they really the summer Celtics? We'll talk about that and more with you guys when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
I mean, with Benny, I mean, he disagreed with the first pitch at that at bat, and he hit the ground ball, and he screamed something to Angel, but everybody saw it, you know, like he was walking to the dugout, but Vic didn't like what he said, and he threw him out, and I got to go out there and defend my player, you know. I didn't agree with that, you know. He's not, like, at the plate, you know, screaming Angel, whatever, you know. That's not the first time somebody disagrees and screams from afar.
Alex Cora right there, who was one of a few that were tossed from the game tonight. And I guess if you're looking for positives, it was good to see some emotion from Cora, absolutely. Good to see him act like he cares and come to the defense of his team. Because right now, I feel like if you had to define the Red Sox with about 100 games left in this season, if you had to define the Sox through the first 30% of this season, I feel like the word apathy really comes to mind. And they've got nobody, by the way, to blame but themselves. They came into this season really with the wrong mentality. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and this really falls squarely on Cora's shoulders. Like, when you want to take the blame for what's gone wrong this season, you can certainly divide it up between Dombrowski and Cora and the players. I mean, my God, when you're this bad, and again, they're 500, but it's as bad as they are as compared to expectations. That's really the problem here. If they didn't go into the season with these tremendous expectations, the view would be very, very different, wouldn't it? But they've got the highest payroll in baseball. They're coming off a World Series, and the expectation was they would at least put themselves in the conversation to repeat, right? But that is not what this team has been. They've been wildly disappointing, with the exception of about a three-week stretch going back about 6 weeks ago. Other than that, this Red Sox team has looked lifeless and looked dead. And part of that responsibility, really, a big chunk of that responsibility, has to fall squarely on Cora's shoulders. Because it was Cora that came into spring training and taking this mentality from spring training into and through the early part of the regular season schedule. You know, he was talking openly about wanting to keep last year going. So rather than turning the page, a la Bill Belichick, who turns the page from week to week, let alone year to year, Cora was desperately trying to hold on to the magic that made last year's team so special. And maybe part of him wanted to do that because he knew that he would never be able to repeat the success that he had once again, especially in back-to-back years. I mean, he pulled one out of his you-know-what with his bullpen last year. The bullpen wasn't good, all that good last year. It was okay. It was better than what it is right now. But let's not forget, the Red Sox were able to do something different, do something unique in the postseason that really helped elevate their bullpen, really helped elevate their pitching staff. And in my belief, and again, we talked about this last year, they took one of their biggest areas of weakness last year and turned it into one of their biggest areas of strength in their postseason by using their starters out of the bullpen. But that's not something that you can do throughout the course of a 162-game regular season. That's something that you've got to sort of put in the reserve, put in the back of your mind, and use it exclusively in the postseason. Otherwise, if your guys were even willing to do it, you would burn them out rapidly. So that certainly isn't the answer to the problems. But the problems on this team, you know, they go deeper than missing Kimbrel or missing that dominant bullpen arm. Right, that guy out of the bullpen that you can build your bullpen around, whether it's a great setup man or a great closer. Right, I feel like strongly that you need a guy like that. That way you can sort of allocate everybody else accordingly in that bullpen and assign their roles accordingly in that bullpen.
The Dead Sox.
And without having that one guy that you can build your bullpen around, this is what you get. But if the Red Sox sole and only problem were defining roles in the bullpen, I feel like this thing would be a lot closer to fixable than it is right now. I mean, just look at this offense right now. It's becoming somewhat anemic. And for a team that's got this kind of offensive talent, to have a strong inability to hit when it matters the most, that to me is really a problem that's twofold. A, it's a talent deficiency, and B, this is what happens. When guys start getting tight and they start pressing because they know they really have to get themselves out of this rut that they're in, everybody sort of, quote-unquote, tries too hard. And eventually, it leads to this, what you're seeing right now. So, and again, you know, this is not your eyes deceiving you. That's the problem here. I thought maybe my eyes were deceiving me, but then when you look up the numbers back up what your eyes are seeing. I mean, this team is 6 for its last 44, 8 for its last 51 with runners in scoring position. That is simply not going to get it done. And when those runners are left on base and scoring position while you're at Fenway Park, that is not okay. That's supposed to be the one place where this Red Sox team can get healthy, get right, get that offense rolling, and it is not working. 8 for their last 51 with runners in scoring position. You know, 3 straight losses now, 5 out of their last 6, and 2 consecutive to the Rangers, who they're trailing now by 3 full games for that second wild card. And Red Sox fans are dropping off. Red Sox fans are feeling apathetic themselves. They are mirroring the behavior and attitude of their summer team. Their team looks apathetic, and Red Sox fans are guilty of being apathetic as well. And I don't blame you.
He's looking away, and as it comes back over the middle, it hits Barrel.
I don't blame Red Sox fans. Celtics fans did it as well. And for casual Celtics fans that decided not to watch the team, I don't blame them. That's what I said. You know, their ratings on NBC Sports Boston were down 24% year over year. That 24% represents the casual fans that the previous edition of the Celtics was able to reel in because of their style of play, because they were competitive, because they were likable. This past season, none of that applied. And now the Red Sox, they are falling into that same identical trap, with the primary difference being the Red Sox are looking for like twice as much time. They've got twice as many games, and they play twice as many games per week. So you have twice as many games overall throughout the course of a season, and instead of playing three or four times a week, they're playing six or seven times a week. It doesn't please Jerry Flippin Callahan. This is a problem here for the Boston Red Sox, and the first thing they need to do is get back to what works for them, get back to what makes this team good, and get back to pushing the right offensive buttons, because if they can't score runs, forget about fixing the pitching staff. Forget about that. This team needs to score runs and score runs in a big way. And by the way, that's what they did last year, and the one positive I can tell you about a team that scores a lot of runs, it hides so many of your team's deficiencies, and it hides so many of your team's fatal flaws. This year, all of those deficiencies and all of those flaws, they are exposed, because this team has been unable to score runs and unable to score runs when they matter the most. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's grab a couple of calls here. Let's go to Alan. Alan is in Florida. Alan, you're first up here on Sports Radio, WEI.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk about the Red Sox, but first of all, don't compare the Red Sox to the Boston Celtics, because first of all, everyone in the city, you know, goes back and cares about the Red Sox. No one gives a hoot. The Celtics are a bunch of garbage. Anyway,
well, Alan, hold on. That's your opinion. Yeah. I happen to disagree. Yeah.
Disagree, but I know facts. I lived in Boston my whole life.
Alan, hold on. Well, let's not debate the history of these teams, because we'll do it all night. I don't want to do that. But the comparison certainly applies when you look at the fact that last year the Celtics went into the season with huge expectations. They fell short.
You know what?
They fell short, and the Red Sox, exactly the same thing. But they're unlikable, just like the Celtics were, Alan.
Okay, I'll give you a quick example, and then I want to talk about the Red Sox.
All right, go for it.
Okay, you take a guy like Mookie Betts, having a tough, rough, horrible year. The guy's got class, and you compare him with a piece of garbage, Kyrie Irving. Enough said.
Hold on. You know what? Mookie Betts has been compared to Kyrie Irving in multiple ways.
Not by me.
Just Google it, and the reason why is because the moment that he's able to make that money, he's out of here. Look at his agent.
Okay. We'll see.
And call back in a couple of years when he's playing for somebody else because he made more money.
Yeah, right. Who's going to be playing for the Tigers?
Who knows? Whoever offers the most money.
White Sox? Who's going to be playing for the Yankees? They don't need him.
Hold on. If you think at his age, with all the money that he's already made, plus the World Series that he's already won, if you think at his age that he's not going to take the richest offer out there so he can take a hometown discount in Boston, you're sadly mistaken.
I didn't say he's going to take a hometown discount. They're going to have to pay him. Anyway, I want to get to this team.
Yeah, do it.
You're the one who brought up the Celtics, not me. I mean, you started out. This team, first of all, as much of a fan as I am, Cashman is making Dombrowski look like a complete idiot. And I'll tell you why. A couple of years ago, the Yankees were old and sad and had no farm system. Look at it now. Look what this team has done, and nobody hates them more than me, but you got to have a little respect. Look what this team has done with the injuries they've had. It's mind-boggling what they have done. This team now has no farm system. You can't go into a season. Yes, I'm not saying the whole thing is on Kimbrel. You still need a closer. The Yankees only have four. And wait until Betances comes back, okay? So it is totally ridiculous. Even Kelly, who's having a tough year with the Dodgers, still could throw the ball 100 miles an hour and was an eighth-inning pitcher. And part of the year he did pretty well. He did great in the playoffs. I mean, you went through that. They thought they were too smart and too cocky, and they thought they knew what they were doing. Cora last year, every single thing fell right for him. You know, he forgot to make a defensive for J.D. Martin. He did this and that. Oh, I made a mistake. Didn't matter because they kept winning.
Yep.
This year, this started in spring training. Everything is cocky. Everything is cuckoo, I should say. And I don't even know if he knows how to manage a baseball team. I have no confidence.
Alan, I got a question. Because whether we agree or disagree about the Celtics comparison, irrelevant. I have a question because you brought up Dombrowski, and you said that Cashman is really he's teaching him a thing or two. Let's put it that way. And I agree with you. Cashman has done a better job, at least this year. But when Dombrowski got here, he was a hired gun. He got here to do one thing and one thing only, and that was win a World Series. And I think everybody knew when you looked at his track record that he was absolutely going to cash in 100% of the Red Sox available chips in their farm system to do everything he could to win that one World Series. He did that. But is that is it not enough because of the state that he's left the organization in now?
You know, absolutely not. You want to know something? As great as last year was, and, you know, I happen to love baseball, okay? Maybe it's my age, whatever. I love baseball.
Yep.
It's so bad this year that I feel it's even taking away from how great last year was. This is how sad and bad this team is right now. I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, the American League is so bad right now. That's the only thing they really have going for them. You talk about the second wild card. You want to know something? They'll probably get it. Not because they're doing well, not because of them, but because of these pathetic Kansas Cities and Baltimores and Torontos and on and on and on and on and on. It's ridiculous. And for the Red Sox to be 34-34, right now, it's crazy.
With that payroll,
I don't think there's no hope.
Alan, with that payroll, 34-34, listen, I'm up against it. I appreciate the phone call. 34-34 with that payroll. And again, that payroll is exactly the reason why this team has got some of the flaws they have. They're a luxury tax team. They're up against it. So that meant they weren't able to go out there and pay a guy like Kimbrel. They weren't able to go out there and upgrade their roster through free agency. So now at 34-34, Dombrowski, we're going to see what this guy's made of. We're going to see just how quote-unquote brilliant of a GM this guy can be, because we know that the farm system here is depleted. He had to deplete it, and again, I think it was worth it. I'm one of those guys that says you go all in to win a championship. Credit where credit is due. He won the championship, won the World Series. But now, how do you get that team back there? How do you even get them back to the playoffs? You've left that farm system, the cupboard sort of bare. You have no money to spend in free agency, and a lot of your younger talent that was worth something on the trade market is now owned by other organizations. So if you're Dombrowski, what do? Do you trade somebody off the major league roster? If you do, you got to be very careful with who you trade. But you know the situation here. I don't have to go through it again. You know that you're on limited time, probably with Mookie Betts. You're on borrowed time, most likely, with J.D. Martinez, and the list goes on and on. So if you're going to try to put yourselves in a position to compete this year or next year while you still have these guys here in Boston, you better make some wholesale changes, and you better make damn well sure that you shore some of these things up, because you're not going to win a World Series with a bullpen like this, with starters that are underperforming, and leaving a historic number of guys standing out there on base. This team needs to make some changes. They just don't have all the options that you would think are available to them to make those changes. Red Sox fans, I know that caller disagreed, but this team, to me, as a guy that sat there and watched all 82 miserable Celtics games, and a guy that sits here, part of my job is to talk about the Boston Red Sox on Red Sox Review, I've got to watch these games. I get that same eerie, terrible feeling. It's a disgusting feeling. It's eerily similar to the feeling I had while watching the Boston Celtics. This team is unlikable. They're hard to watch. They're underperforming, and I don't see a relatively easy fix in sight. Do you? We'll talk about that and more with you guys when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
But let's move on. The Red Sox are trying to win.
You want to hear me say it? You want to break me down? All right, I'm afraid.
But like, let's just call them the blowpen.
Were you upset about the first pitch in that at bat?
I thought it was off the plate, and but I didn't say anything to Angel, and I ground out and I was frustrated, and all I said was, you suck, and I know that Angel didn't even know I was thrown out until I went back out there, so obviously he didn't hear that, and, I'm 100 feet away, so, Vic throws me out, walking back to the dugout, and I was surprised.
Andrew Benintendi right there, talking about what led up to him getting tossed. One of a few guys that got tossed out of the game tonight, and wasn't really enough to...
When was the last time a Red Sox player got tossed?
When's the last time Red Sox player and manager got tossed in the same game?
And the opposing manager.
That's the thing. They showed some fight and some life tonight, which I applaud. But it's not enough. I mean, this Red Sox team is fatally flawed in multiple places right now. And with a roster constructed the way that this roster really is, and with their finances and the situation that they're in, I struggle to find a relatively quick and easy fix here. And that, to me, is the primary difference. You know, we had that caller sort of take he was offended that I made the comparison between the almighty Red Sox and the lowly Boston Celtics. Like, the 17-time world champions don't belong in the same sentence because it's the NBA and it's a lesser sport. And by the way, that mentality right there, I'm sorry, I know he said that he was older and, you know, this is nothing against you. You brought some really great stuff to that call. But that mentality right there is why Major League Baseball is in the situation that it's in right now and why the NBA continues to thrive.
America's pastime.
Absolutely. I mean, the NBA is thriving globally right there because they have the ability to attract fans from all over, all demographics, all countries, all ages, all colors, all creeds. They do a great job marketing their sport and marketing their players. And I feel like the comparison is certainly one worth talking about. Seeing that we just went through 6 months of Celtic hell, and one of the fatal flaws of that particular Celtic team, in addition to not living up to their own expectations, not living up to their huge payroll, not living up to the amount of hype that they came into their season with, right, was also the unlikability of that team. And for me, for Patrick Gilroy, to suggest that a Boston Celtics team is unlikable, that takes a lot. Because, I mean, I'm a green teamer at heart, right? I always have been, always will be. Whether they were the best team in the NBA or the worst team in the NBA, like they were for the majority of my life. I mean, not for nothing. 2008 changed everything, but let's be honest here. I'll be 40 in February. That means my most vivid memories of Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish were at the tail end of their careers. I remember Larry Bird laying down on the floor more vividly than I remember Larry Bird playing basketball games, okay? So it's not like it was easy growing up being a Celtics fan. They were bad. And then Reggie Lewis died, and Rick Pitino got here. And it was a bad 20-year stretch for the Celtics. But they weren't unlikable. They weren't a team that was hard to watch because they at least gave their all. You never questioned their effort. This Red Sox team, I question their effort. I question what their motivation is. And I feel like so much of the game of baseball, because it's 162 games, I feel like so much of it is mental. It's in between the years. And if you're going to go into a season where you're the defending World Series champions, and you're about to embark on another marathon race of a season because that's what it is, you got to go in with the right mentality. And this team, from moment one, and I got to give Lou Maloney credit because he called them out for this right away. You got to go into the season with the right mentality and holding on and hanging on to what they were able to accomplish last year in February, in March, in April, in May. That is the wrong mentality to start a new season. You got to find a way to turn that page, because if the manager doesn't turn the page, how the hell can he expect the players to turn that page? So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's grab a few more calls here. Let's go to Jason. Jason's in North Reading. Jason, you're up next here on WEI.
What's up, Patrick?
What's happening, Jason?
No much. About this Red Sox thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how many games do they have left?
Like 100? 100-ish, yep.
Like 100. And everybody's like, I understand they're underperforming big time. And the Yankees, with all their injuries, I get that. You don't think the Red Sox are, like, going to not, like, topple, you know, the Yankees? Are going to win the, like, well, the wild card, I just don't get it right now.
So right,
like,
now, Jason,
not even an all-star break.
I get it. I get it. It's a long season. I get it. A month ago, I sat here, and I took calls from people just like you, and they said, what's there, 120, 130 games left? Calm down. So with each passing month and things not getting much better, that's the problem. And, you know, not for nothing, too, Jason. If I sat here and I tried to do 4 hours a night, 4 or 5 nights a week, saying, just wait for tomorrow, it'll get better tomorrow, that wouldn't make for compelling radio either, Jason. If you're comfortable waiting for this team to turn it on, or you think they will, God bless you.
I'm not gonna say it's gonna get worse. I mean, the Yankees have like a broken roster, and they're ahead of us, and we have a tremendous roster. Okay, we're not playing good, but you know, guys, settle down.
Hey, Jace, before you go, what gives you a sense of optimism aside from there being 100 games remaining, right? Besides the numbers, you know, what's left in the schedule, from seeing what you've seen from this team this year, forget last year, this year's edition of the Red Sox, what about this team makes you optimistic?
That's a good question. There's the answer right there, Jason.
Man, listen, I appreciate the phone call. It's hard. I appreciate the phone call. It's a hard question to answer. So that's the thing. When you eliminate what this team accomplished last year, right, and you eliminate the fact that there's a huge amount of games remaining, What makes you optimistic that this team's going to turn it around? Is it you have optimism in David Price and Chris Sale? Because that's not a bad way to start. It, you know, despite records, those guys have pitched relatively well. Is it that you feel that a guy like Mookie Betts, who's eventually going to return to the form that he had last year, and J.D. Martinez, he's been very good, but not the guy he was last year. Do you feel like those guys will sort of turn it back on to the level that they were at last year? Do you feel like Brock Holt is going to catch lightning in a bottle again? Do you feel like Dustin Pedroia is going to come back at some point and save the season, being the little general that he is? I mean, what is the reason to be optimistic about this team? And there should be multiple reasons, by the way. With this payroll and with this team's history, right, coming off a World Series victory, that should not be a difficult question for people to answer, but it is. It's one that I have trouble answering. Again, you know, I do this show out of my notebook. I write notes down during games. I write notes down on my way in. I use the little voice recorder on my phone. And on the way in, I asked myself that question. I said, okay, what are my reasons to be optimistic about the remainder of the season for the Red Sox? And I struggled to answer that question as well. I found myself reverting back to what these guys did last year. I found myself reverting back to, you know, guys that will eventually return to form. I found myself reverting back to, well, Dombrowski, he'll find a trade that'll lift this team up. No, I don't think he will. I really don't. Because when you look at the depth throughout this organization, it's not what it once was. He stripped the organization of a lot of their farm depth, and with good reason. I do not give him a hard time for that. There's a lot of things I get on Dave Dombrowski for. But sort of cashing in his chips to put this team in their best possible position to succeed last year, that is not something I get on him for. Because Dombrowski was a hired gun, and make no mistake about it, he was not brought here to build an organization for long-term success. He was not brought here to do what Theo Epstein has done in Chicago and completely revamp, rebuild, and retool that organization from single A all the way up to the major league roster. No, that's not what Dombrowski got here for. That's not what he came here for. At his age, with his experience, he was a hired gun. He was brought here to do one thing and one thing only, and that was pull the trigger on major deals. You strip this organization of their organizational depth from within to get major league ready players and sign big time free agents so this team could put themselves in a position to win another World Series. And as far as that's concerned, it was mission accomplished. Now, this is what you got left over. You got a team that is top heavy, a team that has got major financial issues. When you're the Boston Red Sox and you have the highest payroll in baseball and you're not able to field a decent bullpen because you're up against the luxury tax, it means you spent your money, you allocated your funds incorrectly elsewhere. Somebody's got to pay the price for that. And yeah, with 100 games to go, seeing what I've seen this year and knowing that this team is now trailing the Rangers by 3 games for that second wild card, I don't see reasons to believe that this team is going to find a way to turn this season around. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. If you're on the line, stay on the line here, guys. We got 2 hours left as Red Sox Review will flip into late night. We'll continue our Red Sox conversation and eventually start to work in some Bruins Game 7 stuff and also Kyrie Irving in this Kevin Durant situation. Kevin Durant goes down last night with the Achilles. Looks like he's done not only for this year, but for next year as well. How will those dominoes eventually affect Kyrie and his decision to stay or leave the Boston Celtics? So we got Celtics, Red Sox, and Bruins, and a whole hell of a lot more all coming your way before 2 o'clock in the morning. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you when we come back at 617-779-7937.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.